I always hate to do this to people when it gets to this time of day and everybody's taking a lot of time. I originally had Ruth on for 15 minutes. I have Malachi on after him. Then we got our centers. I'm missing the microphone. There we go. So let me give Ruth not as much time as she'd like to take, but as much time as we can afford. It was maybe 10, 15?
That's fine.
Okay, good. I give you now the president of our National Seniors Division from Baltimore, Maryland, Ruth Sager.
I like old people. I like them. Don't you?
Well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. That's a song, it's older than me because I don't recognize it at all. And I've got to talk to Miss Kate here about Granny Bowling. I don't know. But I am delighted to be here. This is a very lively convention, and I'm glad to be able to share it with you. The senior division was started many, many years ago. I don't even know when it was actually started. And I'm proud and honored to serve as its president. My remarks deal with seniors because this is a population that is truly underserved in so many ways. But what I'm speaking about really could refer to anyone who's an adult who's losing vision as an adult, because we all know that we have similar situations, and the journey often has the same endings. We doubt ourselves. We doubt what we can do. We doubt that life will be full again. And that's often reinforced by society and by ourselves, because we just don't know where to go and where to turn. And as a senior, sometimes we're also dealing with other issues. It could be memory loss, it can be hearing loss, and diminished ability to walk using other walking aids, and dealing with our family situations. You know, many times a senior can be actually, even though they're a senior, they're dealing with their aging parents, or they're raising their grandchildren, or anything in between. So all of these factors can make a difference in the decisions that seniors make as they learn to live with their vision loss. And as Carl noted, there are two groups of seniors. There are seniors who are losing vision later in life, and there are those of us who've been blind for a long time and are becoming seniors and having to make adjustments in our lives about the services we use and how we use them, and what choices we have and how to determine how we do the things that we want to do. So the senior division has started conference calls. I think we started about 5 years ago. And we've recorded these conference calls so that they can be listened to, they can be downloaded and listened to by any group that wishes to do so. I'll provide Carl with the information on how to do that, but we do have also an NFB listserv, and we have an NFB senior page, and that's where you could go and find this information. And the conference calls are on various topics. Why learn Braille? What is Braille? How can I improve cane travel? What does independence really mean? How do I deal with the medical professionals who may not share with me all the information that I need to have to make decisions? They just want to believe that somebody else is going to be my care provider, so they don't really share the information I need. Cooking tips and techniques of daily living. New technologies that are coming out. And sometimes it's just sharing, how do I remain in the community and do the things that I want to do? You know, I used to run the church bazaar, or I did the local blood drive. And I did it for years, and now people are questioning me because I don't see as I used to. And so these are real concerns that people have. And being able sometimes just to talk about them can be helpful. Several years ago, Dr. Betsy Zabrowski, who worked at the National Center, started an event which we held for several years at the Jernigan Institute. And she called this event the Possibilities Fair. And it was a fair for seniors with low vision. She would have several vendors come who had services and products for blind people, the library for the blind, but not totally always blindness related. Maybe it was also the aquarium, the National Aquarium, or it could be other entities that were at Hopkins Low Vision Clinic. And we also, as NFB members, served as demonstrators, and we had several tables where we showed people just, you know, you could learn how to use a cane, you could learn how to use a click ruler and do some wood shop things if you had a wood shop and had that ability. You could learn how to knit again or thread a needle or, you know, just common daily things and learn about some adaptive games. This was a one-day event, and several people came from other states, and they saw what was happening, and they went back to their state and said, well, we're going to start these fairs as well. Now, we had a lovely location and the opportunity to really have a large fair, and we drew, I think Dr. Zabrowski got about 400 seniors to come, so that's a huge number. But, you know, this is something that could be done locally. You don't have to have 400 seniors to be successful. Start and do what you can do. Maybe showing the Library for the Blind audio player, KNFB reader, Newsline, that might be a good start. Or it may be learning to use iProducts or an Android phone more successfully. It could be whatever you have the ability to teach and find a space and a time to do it. It's a good outreach to people in the community. And so the fairs sometimes are in conjunction with state conventions. Last week in Maryland, we did just that. We had Learn to Live the Life You Want, Low Vision and Reading, and we talked and showed people. We were very fortunate. We had people from the Jernigan Institute who demonstrated the KNFB reader. We had Bob Watson demonstrate and show Newsline. And we had people talk about some of the new technology now that's wearable, the ORCAN and the IRA. So keeping up with the technology that's available is also an important. And we want to make sure that seniors don't get left behind in this, because technology now is a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's not just for going back to work. It really impacts all of our lives in so many different ways. And we want to make sure that seniors have the ability to learn it if they want to learn it, and to use it, and to keep it as affordable as possible. That's the other thing. We can have technology, but if we can't afford it, then we can't really buy it and use it. One of the projects I'm also working on, and I guess that I'm stretching it a little bit, but maybe it's like a Bell Academy for seniors in a way. We haven't got it quite off the ground, but we will. We will. And that is a senior retreat. I've held them for several years in Maryland when I worked for Blind Industries and Services in Maryland. In other states, they've done the same thing. Colorado does one, and I think some other states do it. I can't think of the top of my head which ones do it now. But it's where seniors come together for a week of training, and they learn cane travel. They have to use a white cane. And we've had people who were dog guide users, and of course they use their dog guide, but they learned something about a cane as well, too. But we also taught technology and introduction to Braille and other tactile methods. But more importantly, we gave them the National Federation of the Blind and the philosophy of being able to live the life you want by showing and doing. And they developed a wonderful camaraderie with one another and with the staff. And even in one short week of training, it truly did change people's lives. And I know this can happen for other people throughout the country. So we're going to continue to work on finding places and finding ways to bring retreats to the senior population in this country, because they are underserved. And many times, there just is not the opportunity to learn. And many people do want to learn. So at whatever level people are interested and developing and learning new skills and new techniques. It sounds like for your library that Chansey is doing, there's many, many people that are taking advantage of that. And that's a wonderful opportunity for people to have here in New York. So hopefully other states and other areas will also be able to do similar things so that people can grow and continue to learn and use the technology that's there to enhance their lives. So I thank you, Carl, for inviting me to be here, and I'll be happy to entertain any questions if anyone has any specific
issues. I thank you, Ruth, for being here. I can take two questions. We got any questions for Ruth? I got Mindy, go.
Thanks. How did you find a place, and where would you look for places to hold these retreats?
Okay, that's a good question. If we have a center, that's a good place because, you know, we have the location. So at Blind Industries, we could use their center. We don't have sleeping quarters there, so we would use a hotel. But I've held them. We've had them in a church. We've had them in a senior center. And we've had them, I think, at just a community center. We like to, you know, we tailor it to whatever we have. And if we can get a kitchen, we're happy because then we can really teach some cooking skills. So that's kind of a criteria. And also, we want it to be somewhat affordable so we can actually do the teaching and the programs. But it doesn't have to be a center. I mean, it can be, you know, someplace in the community-based, you know, building that we can use for that week.
Just be creative.
Yes, yes. Right. And we'll make it. We will find a way to make it work, right?
Any other questions? I've got Drew time for one more. Maliki, could you make your way up front, please? Mm-hmm. Sabrina, go ahead.
I was waiting. Thank you. This is awesome. Thank you so much. That was so much great information. What age would you say that the senior group starts?
95.
Okay. Actually,
Hey. Okay. 108 years old. I was so impressed this morning. So this is a great thing.
No, a valid question.
Thank you.
If you're working with the government and you get a grant, and some states do, all right, the government says you have to be 55. However, if you get outside grants, which I'm hoping to do, there isn't an age limit, you know. So let's just say somebody's 48 or whatever.
But and they feel old.
And they want to learn it, and maybe they don't have other options and opportunities. You know, who's going to count their, you know, it doesn't, what matters is that they can get the help that they need when they need it. And I should say, too, on the calls, we don't check people's age. If people want to check in to any of our calls, they're certainly welcome to do that. And many states do have their senior calls, but again, they welcome visitors. So, you know, age is not really the factor. It's just simply because we understand that the senior population is so underserved in so many ways. But we'd be happy to, you know, negotiate and work. Now, if we get grants that were federal grants, you know, then we would have to, you know, follow the grant and the instructions of the grant. And if the government says you have to be 55, then you have to be 55. And sometimes for the Possibilities Fair, that's also been the case, where the grant was a state federal grant and it was for people 55, and we did have to keep that. So it just depends.
Sabrina, what I hear Ruth saying is where we can be flexible,
yes,
we will.
Yes.
Heather, last question. What?
So, Ruth, would you be at all interested in us sending a blind parent representative to your conference call to talk to blind grandparents, and or would you be willing to speak to our blind parents call about blind grandparenting? Because I see a lot of overlap, and I think that would be a great cooperative effort if you're
interested. Oh, absolutely.
Interested.
And we have many people that, you know, can address those issues because it's a problem because... And it has motivated some people to get training because they felt that their life was incomplete, that they really wanted to be able to do more for their grandchildren. And so, yes, we can do any of the above.
Very good. Thank you again, Ruth.
Right, yeah.
Thank you for being with us. We will see you this evening at the banquet, right up here at this table.